This is Digaris Masculist MGTOW Flyers. That is 2-3 page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Digaris. This is flyer number 454, entitled How Bitter Will the Ideological Gender Wars Become? Description. As men become conscious of the massive gender injustice committed against men in the hated fluffy feminist-controlled divorce courts and the decades-lasting man's slavery of fluffy parasites, they will have the intellectual tools to hit back and crush the monoconscious misandry of the fluffy feminists. Since the feminists have had a monopoly of gender politics for nearly 60 years, this hatred coming from the masculists will cause them to retaliate with hysterical passion. This in turn will only increase the hatred level of the masculists against them, since to masculists, the manslavery of fluffies this century is far worse than the slavery of Negroes of the 19th century, a much greater casus belli, a cause for war. If the fluffy feminists remain monoconscious and do not help men fare the gender laws, especially in the divorce courts, then masculists will eventually kill them. In other words, this flyer predicts that the level of bitterness in the ideological gender wars will be extreme, a war issue. The flyer itself. How bitter will the ideological gender wars become? By Prof. Dr. Hugo Digaris. Email profhugodigaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodigaris.wordpress.com. Humanity is currently undergoing a major gender roles paradigm shift, as women now have a career window of half a century, so are pouring into the workforce, and men are now freeing themselves from the traditional man-slave role of working for women for decades of their lives. These are huge shifts that are undermining the deeply unconscious expectations that the two sexes have had of each other. The main cause of this earthquake in gender role expectations was the male invention of the contraceptive pill and other effective contraceptive devices, so that women could control reliably the number of kids they wanted, which was usually 0, 1, or 2. More than that is usually considered too expensive, with American estimates that it costs about $250,000 to raise one kid. This control of female reproduction was probably the most important social change in history, since it changed everything. The Industrial Revolution and market capitalism caused the breakup of the multi-generational farm family, forcing the need for the formation of the nuclear family of breadwinner father slash husband and child raiser mother slash wife, who often had a dozen kids to look after, definitely a full-time job. In the 1960s, women were given the contraceptive pill by men, along with household gadgets, science-based medicine, life expectancies well into the 80s, higher education, etc. After World War II, traumatized men wanted emotional stability and pushed for what they had before the war, that is, traditional gender roles, so that women who worked in the war industries were pushed back into the housewife role. And first wave feminism, in brackets, which was largely about obtaining the right to vote for women, close brackets, effectively died out. Women were expected to be nurturing housewives, supportive of men, and dependent on men for their financial upkeep. In the 60s, a gender role revolution occurred. Upper middle class intellectual housewives got bored with being stuck in the home while their one or two kids were off to school. So began the second wave feminist movement, brackets, thanks to Betty Friedan, with the publication of her book, The Feminine Mystique, which pushed for women to adopt the male lifestyle of having careers. This movement went overboard a bit, overselling the importance of female careerism, since millions of women bought into this new feminist ideology and devoted themselves to their careers at the expense of getting a husband and having kids. As a result, the unhappiest group of people in modern countries are now professional women in their 40s with no man in their life and no kids. They are miserable, feeling that life has passed them by. They deeply regret not being more traditional. This problem is so extensive, I read now, that in the US, a quarter of women are on anti-depression drugs. The second wave feminists raise their feminist consciousness, lashing out at how men oppress women, for example, rape, sexual harassment, blocking women from equal pay, from equal access to the professions, pushing for fault-free divorce, the abortion right, etc. So that many second-wave feminists learn to hate men as a sex for the awful gender injustices that men committed against women. One only has to read the feminist books of that era to understand why so many women hated men. These second-wave feminists then pushed for changes in the gender laws, for example, equal pay, anti-discrimination in employment, fault-free divorce, the abortion right, the takeover of the divorce courts, relabeling them family courts, etc. Once they had control of the divorce courts, they brought with them their unconscious, unquestioned expectations of men, that is, seeing men as the breadwinner. That is, they gave men, the husband, the father, the same role after the divorce as he had before the divorce, that is, as the principal breadwinner, since after the divorce, with small children, it was unquestioned in these second-wave feminists' minds that the mother would be at home looking after the small children. So who would be earning the living for the family? The father, of course. So these feminists created new laws that forced divorcing fathers to pay both for his kids, who were ripped away from him with a 90% probability, and for his financially parasitic ex-wife. These feminists did not impose demands on the ex-wife to get off her fat, parasitic ass and fip up, that is, become a fip, in brackets, financially independent person. So that in practice, a fluffy, in brackets, equals traditional woman who expects to be able to parasite off the money and labour of a man, close brackets, could readily and easily divorce her husband, in brackets, often her many dozenth penis, close brackets, and then sit back and live off his money for the rest of her parasitic life. Women initiate about 70% of divorces. That is, about two-thirds of divorces are started by women. That is, at a rate about twice that of men, or by men. This is not surprising, since the fluffy feminist-controlled divorce courts are so favourable to women and utterly callous to men. Most of the divorce courts are run on a daily basis by monoconscious feminists who know nothing about masculine ideas, so by default have traditional expectations of men, who see men as cash machines, put on this earth to pay for women
to have babies.
These monoconscious feminists inevitably have negative opinions of men, having had only their feminist consciousnesses raised, so are angry at men for the ways that men oppress women, so often feel, with their power of control over the divorce courts, they are able to revenge men for these oppressions, thus committing the error that two wrongs don't make a right. In fact, the monoconscious fluffy feminists who control the divorce courts are committing a massive gender crime against men. They cause a quarter of all fathers to lose their kids. So that's not surprising that young men refuse to marry and have kids, because these fluffy feminists have made divorce so toxic for men that young men reject marriage and paternity, since they absolutely refuse to face a one chance in four of losing their kids and being forced to pay a fluffy parasite ex-wife for the rest of his life. Specifically, in a Western country divorce court, the divorcing father will lose custody of his kids with a 90% probability. that is a near certainty. He will lose his house so that his ex-wife can raise her kids in it. He'll be forced to pay her half of his wealth, half his stuff, forced to make child payments to kids he will barely see. And if his ex-wife is a real fluffy, he may be forced to pay her alimony for the rest of his life, with no legal nor moral obligation on her to get off her fat, parasitic ass and fip up. She thus remains a parasite after the divorce, the way she was before the divorce. Given the horrors of the above, it's not surprising that in many Western countries now, two-thirds of young men refuse to marry, reject paternity, and live the lifestyle of the MGTOW, brackets, men going their own way, close brackets, spending their money on themselves, and not risking having most of it stolen from him by the hated, fluffy feminist hypocrite divorce court system. The toxicity of the fluffy feminist hypocrite-controlled divorce courts, in brackets, hypocrite, because these monoconscious feminists want equal rights with men in the parliaments, but reject equal obligations with men in sharing out equally the burden of earning the living by bothering to fip up and get a career-competent education at high school and college, close brackets, is the primary reason for the rise and rise of the MGTOW movement. The MGTOWs are reacting to the toxicity of the divorce courts, controlled by monoconscious, fluffy feminist hypocrites, who by definition know nothing of men's lib, of MGTOW philosophy and masculism. So they feel that what they are doing in the divorce courts is merely a natural continuation of the two traditional gender roles, that is, the man, the ex-husband, the father, continues to pay, as he did before the divorce. These feminists put powerful legal pressure on divorcing fathers to pay child payment, and even put them in jail if they refuse to pay, arguing that the children are the responsibility of both parents, overlooking the fact that with this monoconscious feminist logic, the divorced father has his life destroyed by being financially crucified. He's forced to pay for kids who are no longer his. He doesn't get to see them in most divorces. It's therefore not surprising that the suicide rate of divorcing fathers shoots up compared to the usual male suicide rate, which even before the divorce is about four times the usual female suicide rate. Divorcing fathers commit suicide at a rate 10 times that of divorcing mothers. Google it. The MGTOWs are very aware of the above gender political monstrosities in the divorce courts, so advise young men not to marry, not to have kids, so that there are now millions of MGTOWs around the world, as the MGTOW message gets out via the manosphere, that is the men's lib message on the internet, brackets, MGTOWs, masculists, MRAs, that's men's rights activists, etc. That divorce is toxic for men. Hence, so is marriage and paternity toxic for men. So millions of young men now reject marriage, to the point that millions of young women are panicking, since they are finding with boyfriend after boyfriend that young men absolutely refuse to give them their sperm. Millions of women are now asking, quote,
"Where have all the good men gone?"
Which is masculist speak. In masculine speak, can be translated as, quote,
"Where have all the men gone who are prepared to be manslaved, parasited upon by an immoral, parasitic, manslaving, vermin, fluffy, working for her for decades and running the risk of one chance in four of being financially crucified and having his life ruined by a hated, monoconscious, fluffy feminist control divorce court?"
Of course, these young men are deserting marriage and paternity in their millions. They see the carnage done to their fathers, their uncles, their older male friends, and decide to wipe their hands of marriage and paternity, teaching other young men not to be a fool, not to marry and have kids until the gender laws are men-fared. From the masculine perspective, the MGTOWs are reacting, capital letters, to the current gender status quo, that is, in which the fluffy feminists are in control of the divorce courts. MGTOWs are unconsciously accepting the situation where fluffy feminists call the shots.
They are merely reacting to the ginocracy in the divorce courts, in the media, in movies, etc. This is probably due to the fact that most MGTOWs are young, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, who are too young to have lived through the social revolution that was second wave feminism in the late 60s, as I did when I was a young adult, who at the time was an avid male feminist, because I then hoped that feminism would make women interesting, that is, that I could share my intellectual passions with them for pure math and math physics. Ah, the naivety of youth. These young MGTOWs have grown up with monoconscious feminism, so for them, it's part of the furniture, an unconscious, unquestioned given, and not as older masses like myself see, as a social and political construct that the second wave feminists had to work for and work hard for. Thus, the maskers are more like the feminists in the sense that maskers see that it is not enough merely to have one's maskers consciousness raised, in brackets, for example, by seeing the that fluffydom is manslavery, that manslavery is slavery, and that slavery is a war issue, something to be hated. So maskers have a hatred of fluffy manslaving parasites, and an even greater hatred for fluffy feminist hypocrites, since it's bad enough that fluffy feminists are fluffies, and hence manslavers, but are hypocrites as well, since they want equal rights with men in the parliaments, but behave as fluffy manslaving parasites in their divorce courts. Close brackets. But see that mere maskless consciousness raising is only the first step. It's not enough. Far more remains to be done. Masklists are political. They are fighters and are out to change the gender laws, pushing women very hard to fip up or be spat at by masklists, who hopefully in not too many years will be most men, as most men have their maskless consciousness raised, as maskless ideas go mainstream.